Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Hey, this is Christina Quinn. I'm the host of Try This, the Washington Post's new series of audio courses. The idea behind Try This is to become better functioning humans without having to comb the internet for countless hours. In our first course, we learned how to sleep better. Now, we're going to learn how to make our friendships stronger. I'll offer expert tips that are doable, and I'll keep it short. So let's do this. Class is in session. Find Try This from the Washington Post wherever you listen.
With dozens of streaming services, box office films, and content to choose from, people are spending over 2.5 years of their lives searching for what to watch. But The Hollywood Reporter brings you THR Charts, one place for you, your family, and friends to find the most watched TV shows and movies every week. THR Charts is a guide to help you spend less time scrolling through platforms so that you can spend more time watching and binging the content everyone is talking about, all supported by data and trusted sources like Nielsen, Comscore, and Paired Analytics. Check out THR Charts on HollywoodReporter.com.
Now here's a highlight from Coast to Coast AM on iHeartRadio.
Now Madison stays with us. He is the author of Quaz, a financial thriller. So let's get into the bank for international settlements. We've discussed central banks. We've discussed fractional reserve banking, creating money out of thin air as debt. So what is the origin of this, as you call it, a central bank for all central banks, the BIS, or the Bank of International Settlements? When did it begin?
Yes, it began in 1930 officially, but the idea of essentially an international super central bank can go back into the 1890s. There were folks talking about a super central bank, a international currency, and so what this does is it's something that can take away sovereignty. It's something that can facilitate, you know, cross-border transactions. It's something that takes away, you know, rights of the people, basically, and enriches the powerful elite. And how it does that and what it does, you know, that's what I think we can get into now. But to get specifically to the Bank for International Settlements, it's something that a lot of people have not heard of. And that is very much on purpose. The Bank for International Settlements does not want people to know about it. They don't want people to know what they're doing there. They don't want people to know what's happening there. And if you look at, like, in our country, the United States, where every time Jerome Powell, the chairman of the Federal Reserve, he has a meeting with the Board of Governors, the Open Market Committee, they release the meeting minutes. There's a press conference afterwards. But what you don't know is that every 2 months, Jerome Powell, the head of the European Central Bank, Christine Lagarde, and the head of 63 central banks around the world, encompassing 95% of the world's GDP, they meet secretly every 2 months in Basel, Switzerland, at the Bank for International Settlements. They have a multi-day meeting. They do not release minutes. They don't allow reporters. They don't talk about what they discuss there. They just simply fly to Switzerland in their private jets. They stay at fancy hotels. They enjoy gourmet meals. They talk about how do we want the global economy to develop, and they coordinate for the benefit of essentially the financial interests that are really they're in control of and that control them. And who owns central banks around the world? The member banks, as I mentioned, the United States. There are 12 Federal Reserve banks spread out around the country, San Francisco, Chicago, New York. Those are owned by commercial banks. And so this could go all the way back into the Rothschilds, who had originally wanted this type of international central banking system in place to facilitate their business. And this is what is going on today with the Bank for International Settlements.
What is the connection between the BIS and the Third Reich?
So when the BIS was formed in 1930, it was set up because there were problems getting reparations payments from Germany. And so there was, from the very beginning, a strong German component to the Bank for International Settlements. It was a way for the Allied powers that had won World War I, Belgium, the United States, France, England, to facilitate payments from Germany. But literally just months before the bank was officially formed, the stock market crashed in 1929, and reparation payments stopped a year later. And the central bank began this metamorphosis into what it is today. It had a very strong German component, a guy named Helmut Schacht, who was the head of the Reichsbank in the 1930s in Germany, was an instrumental person in this. He had had a secret meeting along with people from the New York Federal Reserve and other people that helped to create this. It's almost a replay of the secret meeting on Jekyll Island, except this was held on Long Island in New York. And they got together secretly. They put this together. The United States wanted nothing to do with it. The Federal Reserve, in fact, was not allowed to become an original official member of the Bank for International Settlements. And what happened was the people in Europe realized this won't work without the United States. And instead of the central banks becoming the founding members from the United States of the Bank for International Settlement, the private banks in the United States became the founding members. So the Bank of New York, First Bank of Chicago. So United States bankers had their influence in the central bank, in the Bank for International Settlements, and eventually used this bank as a mechanism to fund the rebuilding of Germany. It was literally a conduit for money from Wall Street into the Third Reich. And during World War II, it served as a conduit for feeding the Nazi war machine. Czechoslovakia, which was one of the first countries that Hitler took over, they had thousands of tons of gold that were being stored for them by the Bank for International Settlements. And so when Czechoslovakia was taken over, Germany wants this gold to fuel its war machine. And instead of what would be a normal situation, because the Czechoslovakians were worried they were going to be taken over, they moved their money to England. And they moved it to England, but they didn't move it to England in their name. They moved it in the name of the bank of the central bank for central banks, the Bank for International Settlements. And so when Hitler and the Nazis demanded that they get Czechoslovakian gold, the Bank for International Settlements was the one that enabled the transfer of that gold through Amsterdam back into Berlin.
Why would they do that?
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If
you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hey, this is Christina Quinn. I'm the host of Try This, the Washington Post's new series of audio courses. The idea behind Try This is to become better functioning humans without having to comb the internet for countless hours. In our first course, we learned how to sleep better. Now, we're going to learn how to make our friendships stronger. I'll offer expert tips that are doable, and I'll keep it short. So let's do this. Class is in session. Find Try This from the Washington Post wherever you listen.
With dozens of streaming services, box office films, and content to choose from, people are spending over 2.5 years of their lives searching for what to watch. But The Hollywood Reporter brings you THR Charts, one place for you, your family, and friends to find the most watched TV shows and movies every week. THR Charts is a guide to help you spend less time scrolling through platforms so that you can spend more time watching and binging the content everyone is talking about, all supported by data and trusted sources like Nielsen, Comscore, and Paired Analytics. Check out THR Charts on HollywoodReporter.com.
So
why would the Bank of International Settlements enable the Nazis that way?
The board of directors during World War II was dominated at the Bank of International Settlements by Germans. Five different board members of the bank were tried for crimes against humanity, and some of them were executed. So you had Nazis control on the board of the Bank for International Settlements. And the reason why the Americans and some of the allied counterparts at the Bank for International Settlements went along with this was because even before World War II, they were envisioning this global post-nationalistic world. And they're in the Bank for International Settlements charter, it says that these assets, these funds, cannot be disturbed, whether in time of war or peace. And so there was this ideology that they saw themselves as beyond citizens of their nations, but citizens of the world, and that this Bank for International Settlements in Switzerland was a place that, you know, should function as normal, even during a time of war, and be apolitical and not take a side of Nazi or not Nazi. And of course, the Nazis that were on the board convinced the non-Nazis, and the transfer went through.
So after the Second World War, was the Bank of International Settlements involved in the creation of the European Union and then the Euro?
They basically did create the European Union. The entire system of the European Central Bank, the Euro, people might be aware that the European Central Bank has its headquarters today in Frankfurt, Germany. So essentially what the Bank for International Settlements did after World War II is they carried out the plans for a post World War II Europe, but not the Allied plans, the Nazi plans. The Nazi plans were for Europe dominated economically by Germany, the power in Germany. And that is what we have today. We have a European Central Bank that is headquartered in Frankfurt, Germany, that is dominated by the German Bundesbank, which is the German central bank, because Germany is simply the most powerful economy in Europe, especially after it was reunited. It dwarfs any other economy, Spain, France. And so you have this dominated Europe. And even before World War II, the Nazis were talking about, what are we going to do after we win World War II? Well, one of the things they want to do, they want to create a common currency, they want to remove national borders, and they want all this economic power and might to be headquartered in Germany. And that's exactly what we have now.
So if you have the governor of the Bank of Canada and the chairman of the Fed and so forth, attending these secret Bank of International Settlement meetings, is the monetary policy for each country dictated at the BIS? In other words, I mean, we have a finance minister in the House of Commons. Are you saying that basically they're powerless?
They have power if they would use it. So Congress in our country, and I'm not sure it's quite similar in Canada, has oversight over the Federal Reserve. But you have to wonder, is there a similar group of people that is having their bidding done through these central banks that also happens to have politicians under their pocket? So if we had a completely independent governing class and legislature, then they could have oversight and do something about it. But you have to wonder, do they really want to do something about it? And I think the fact that they haven't means that they don't. You have some people in our country, Ron Paul, who have argued for audits of the Federal Reserve, people who have wanted to take the United States out of some of these intergovernmental international organizations like the United Nations, the IMF, the World Bank, the Bank for International Settlements. And in fact, after World War II, it was so horrible that at Bretton Woods, every United States representative said, we need to get out of the Bank for International Settlements and dismantle it immediately. Mysteriously, there were plans put in place for this to happen. It's not clearly explained in the historical literature, but the decision was reversed. And in 1948, the Bank for International Settlements was back up and running, even though half of its board had been Nazi war criminals, even though they had facilitated the enablement of the Third Reich. And they went in to go on to have this Treaty of Maastricht where they created the euro. And until the ECB, the European Central Bank, moved to Frankfurt, they kept their offices at the Bank for International Settlement headquarters in Basel, Switzerland, while this was all developed. So miraculously, after World War II, they're left in power. They're allowed to carry out the Third Reich's post-World War II economic plans. And today, they are essentially the leading cutting edge for the enablement of central bank digital currencies.
So now, yeah, let's get into central bank digital currencies, CBDCs. Recently up here in Canada, the Bank of Canada, a number of times have publicly stated that there is no interest in a central bank digital currency in Canada. They've done some internal polling. The people of Canada don't want it. But then quietly over Christmas, here we go again. It always happens over Christmas. Quietly over Christmas, the Bank of Canada, registered the trademark for, a digital currency in Canada, the Bank of Canada digital currency. They registered the trademark, even though publicly they say they're not pursuing it, which is kind of a telling. What is the role of the BIS in the creation of a central bank digital currency?
So there is one major role, which is technological. So they are working on what I would call the financial plumbing, the mechanics, the rails to enable different countries to issue CBDCs and do cross-border payments. And they have a whole other plan, which, you know, we can also get into a little bit of that. But just to piggyback on your comment about Canada, that is exactly the playbook that these central banks are using. They're saying, we haven't decided yet, we're just exploring central bank digital currencies, but they're doing everything to put them in place in the meantime. So the biggest central bank that's doing that is the European Central Bank. They say potential euro or digital euro, but yet they have this plan where there is a letter just from January 3rd of this year saying we're now starting to hire different vendors for the implementation of the digital euro. Well, if there is only a potential, why are you hiring vendors to put this in place? This is exactly the type of stuff that could be going on at the BIS, that I think is going on at the BIS, but that I have no way of knowing if it's going on at the BIS because everything is confidential. I believe that the central bankers are sitting there talking about CBDCs. They're talking about how they want to roll them out, how they want to do it in a way that makes sense so that it can at least look like they know what they're doing. And they're coordinating this and then they're going to go ahead and they're going to implement it in their respective nations. One note on this is the largest economy in Africa, Nigeria, was one of the first to roll out an actual CBDC a couple years ago. And it's very telling on how they did this to get adoption. They told the Nigerian population that to cut down on money laundering and fraudulent transactions, they needed to issue all new paper currency. They gave a deadline for the Nigerian people to submit all of their old banknotes to banks and to the government of Nigeria, and then were told, we will reissue you the new, tougher to counterfeit notes. But guess what happened? The Nigerian government took all their money in, never issued them the new notes, and said, well, you can use our central bank digital currency, the e-Naira. Their currency is the Naira. The people in Nigeria revolted.
Listen to more Coast to Coast AM every weeknight at 1 a.m. Eastern, and go to coasttocoastam.com for more.
There's two kinds of people in the world, people who love Health Aid kombucha and people who have never tried it. The bubbly mix of probiotic tea and refreshing juice is delicious and good for your gut health, with great flavors to choose from that you can't help but love. If you've never tried it before, maybe try a bottle or can of passion fruit tangerine or ginger lemon. Your taste buds and your gut will thank you. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid kombucha today.
Health Aid kombucha.
With dozens of streaming services, box office films, and content to choose from, people are spending over 2.5 years of their lives searching for what to watch. But The Hollywood Reporter brings you THR Charts, one place for you, your family, and friends to find the most watched TV shows and movies every week. THR Charts is a guide to help you spend less time scrolling through platforms so that you can spend more time watching and binging the content everyone is talking about, all supported by data and trusted sources like Nielsen, Comscore, and Paired Analytics. Check out THR Charts on HollywoodReporter.com.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Bring it on. Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.